Real people, real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys once again for tuning in to the program. My name's JD. We are live right now. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. Today is Thursday, one day away, Friday evening, I like to call it, ladies and gentlemen. So close to the weekend, you can almost taste it. But that means that Monday is right behind the corner, so don't get too excited, I suppose. Anyway, today is the 19th day of February. Good morning, good evening, good whatever it is to wherever you are out there. Really appreciate you guys showing up to listen every day. Because, you know, otherwise I'd just be talking to the cat. So he's pretty over it all. Anyway, big show today, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a big week. I hope you guys have taken some value away from the show and some of the guests that we've had. Really cannot appreciate them enough for coming here and talking about all of the interesting stuff that we've gone over already this week. But today will not be an exception. Deborah Tavares is going to be joining us today. If you guys don't know Deborah Tavares, woo, strap in, bring a pen and a piece of paper because there's a lot of stuff she's going to go over that you're probably going to write down. For those of you guys who don't know Deborah, she is really at the tip of the spear in terms of her research into this just incredible overarching encroachment by the New World Order and by Agenda 21 type, you know, programs, the whole, resource allocation, the whole, you know, the water scarcity issue, the smart meter issue, electromagnetic radiation concerns, all kinds of stuff, that really fall under this umbrella of, you know, an overarching control grid that's being, imposed upon us right now. And, Deborah, I'm telling you, week after week on all of her websites is just as up to date as you can possibly be and so well documented. There's really not anybody I trust in the world more to keep me up to date on all of the threats that are going on around us. And it's not all going to be doom and gloom because, you know, a big portion of what Deborah does is she's a model for involvement. She is somebody that you can look to and follow her example and start fixing some of these issues because a lot of these issues coming from the Agenda 21 type programs are really dropping in on our local communities. And again, you know, we talk a lot on Red Pill Reports about taking care of your local communities first, because if everybody did that, well, heck, we'd have a whole nation full of well taken care of communities. But these threats are real and they're coming down right now in our neck of the woods, and Deborah will come and talk to us about that. She also was at the AAAS meeting in San Jose the other day, said it was absolutely horrific. So that was a giant symposium of scientists coming together to talk about global warming and issues and things like that. And she said it was just absolutely top to bottom full of lies and some scary stuff that they are peddling through the scientific community right now. So we'll talk about all of that with her today. Really want to appreciate all you guys who are hanging out in the chat room every morning. It's really nice to see the familiar faces in there. Lex is already in there. Obsidian's in there. Poet Fisherman's in there. New people. K-Mass, I don't know you, but I'm happy that you're here, brother. And John Titer was here. I love that name. That's a fantastic name. And maybe John Titer was here. Who knows? He could be in the chat room right now. And if you guys were in the chat room at truthfrequencyradio.com, you could talk along with some of these other guests. You'll be able to talk to the guests here in about an hour and pose any questions that you might have. But you'll also be able to talk with some other listeners from all around the world. Very cool stuff. Lots of friendships kind of being blossomed in the chat room as we do these shows. Very cool to be a part of. And just love having you guys in there. Truth Be Told just showed up. PRC News just showed up. Love having you guys in there this morning. Welcome to the program. Thank you guys who are checking out redpillreports.com as well. And thank you guys who are sharing the show with your friends and family. It's, you know, we're all growing together. I hope that you guys appreciate the forum that we're trying to create here. I do know you, K-Mass. Okay. Fair enough. Oh, man. Sometimes the monikers in the chat room, I just don't, I don't know. Let's see here. What are we going to talk about today? Did I already mention Andrew Gauze is going to be here tomorrow? He's a numismatist and a monetary historian. I'm going to throw him off in the deep end tomorrow. We're going to be talking about the global trust and things like that because I'm eager to see what direction he thinks that we're all going to go in with this whole Bretton Woods, you know, financial ring that we all find ourselves surrounded by. Anyway, so that's going to be a great show. Andrew's always super entertaining and very insightful. So I do look forward to having that conversation tomorrow. Anyway, let's move on. There's a lot of stuff going on in the news right now, and yeah, let's just jump right in here to the international stuff. If you guys go to redpillreports.com, as usual, at the top of the page there is the guest/show section, and you'll be able to find out everything you could possibly want to know about Deborah Tavares in that section. But underneath that, you will also be able to find a whole slew of news, all kinds of headlines from around the world, stuff that we think you guys might want to know about, and we're going to do our best in the first hour, just like we do every day, to try and go over as much of it as we can. Sometimes I get off on a rant, and I don't get through all of it. So again, if you're not going to redpillreports.com and checking out the show section every day, well, you might be missing some things. Just throwing that out there. There was kind of a startling admission. I don't know if it's an admission or an accusation. I guess it's more of an accusation from the president of the Sudan over the weekend. And this just hit the radar yesterday. But apparently the president of the Sudan, Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir, he was on the television this weekend, and he was actually doing an interview on global terror right at the same time the United States was kind of considering whether or not to use force against ISIS. And he essentially said that the CIA, obviously America's intelligence agency here, and Israel's Mossad are behind Boko Haram and ISIS. He basically says that, yes, we are funding, without a doubt, ISIS and Boko Haram with the help of Israel's Mossad. He also warned that taking violent measures to fight militants, saying that doing that could actually lead to more extremist responses in the future. Hmm. Do you think that makes any sense? Sounds like something Ron Paul was saying, I don't know, about 20 years ago. You know, and I think it's, you know, probably pretty true. But again, Sudanese President al-Bashir now coming out and saying, yeah, U.S., you guys are funding Boko Haram and ISIS. So good luck fighting your own people there. Interesting stuff there. Also, a Swiss subsidiary of HSBC. You know, HSBC has just been absolutely embroiled in this new revelations, this new investigation that's going on with them. Anyway, one of their subsidiaries was searched on Wednesday after by officials, after prosecutors in Geneva said that they were opening a money laundering investigation into the bank's alleged illegal tax activity. And so the premises of the HSBC Private Bank Swiss were searched by authorities yesterday, according to the AP, and the investigation could now possibly extend beyond that bank to any clients participating in money laundering. This is about to get really, really big, ladies and gentlemen. So, again, the investigation right now being driven by recent published revelations of the HSBC's Swiss private banking arm that was now been accused of helping terrorists, royalty, and drug dealers conceal their identities to avoid taxes. And Europe's largest bank, the world's second largest bank, has been at the center of this controversy since the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists published this report about 2 weeks ago that named more than 100,000 clients that were using the bank to dodge taxes. Some of them have been linked to, well, the Clinton campaign. We'll just say that. HSBC involvement in tax avoidance all goes back to 2008 when a former computer technician actually blew the whistle on the company's practices after stealing confidential data, which he then turned over to the French finance minister at the time, Christine Lagarde. She's obviously now the head of the IMF. But between 2005 and 2007, the bank allegedly lured clients with the promise of keeping their tax identity hush-hush. And at the time, the bank controlled more than $100 billion in assets. That's $100 billion with a B as in boy, that is a lot of money. So HSBC, what's going to happen there? I don't know, but this investigation does look like it is going to be blowing up. It seems like everywhere you look these days, every place they turn the light, we see rats just enjoying some kind of smorgasbord, and that's apparently what was going on at the HSBC. Lots and lots of terrorists, royalty, drug dealers concealing their tax identities at the bank there. Not good stuff. So anyway, more investigations going on in that respect. Right, meow. Okay. Poroshenko in the news right now. And, I think the situation, obviously we talked a lot about this with Rick yesterday. And, you know, Rick and I kind of disagreed on some of the things. He's pretty convinced at this point that Greece is going to stay in the euro, that they're going to go ahead and take some kind of deal from the Troika. And, so that's going to eliminate, Russia's, you know, what I would consider to be Russia's ace in the hole of having Greece kind of sitting there needing money. And so if Greece doesn't end up needing money and Russia can't play that ace in the hole, so that kind of pulls some power away from Russia. And so, Rick also said pretty specifically that the situation in the Ukraine is probably going to continue to get worse and worse. And wouldn't you know it, today, the Ukraine Security Council, obviously being led by Poroshenko, has now agreed to call on the UN and the EU to deploy a peacekeeping mission in the war-torn eastern part of the country. And this has been requested specifically by President Poroshenko. So, you know, what are the ramifications now of going and notching, you know, ratcheting this thing up a few notches and getting the UN involved? We're talking about international coalition of peacekeepers. Obviously, stationing these people in the eastern side of the country to try and, you know, control the, it's just, all it's going to do is it's going to add an international flavor to this whole mix. We're basically going to kick this whole thing up a notch by adding, other people's kids from around the world into an area where people really just want to be left alone. So why is Poroshenko asking for peacekeepers? Well, because he's got a 6% turnout for his draft that he's trying to enlist there. Even, Rick Rozoff said yesterday that now the draft is set to include women, you know, of fighting age between, I think, 26 and 50 or something like that. So obviously they're having a lot of problems dealing with the troops on the eastern side of the country. I'll say also that yesterday, Wednesday, after our show, so I didn't get you guys this news right yet, but the Ukraine military, now we're talking about the Kiev side again, said that 80% of the Ukrainian forces have been pulled out of the strategic railroad hub that's been the focus of the fighting. We're talking about Debaltseve. And so as of yesterday evening, about 80% of those forces had been pulled out of that area. And Poroshenko came out in a taped statement. He said that the Ukrainian armed forces in the area had left Debaltseve according to the plan, and that Kiev was waiting for two remaining columns to pull back. But he also says that Debaltseve was under our control and there was never an encirclement, and our troops left the area in a planned and organized manner with all their heavy weaponry. So not true, according to RT, according to all of the troops that are on the eastern side, you know, the rebel-held eastern side, whatever. They're saying for sure that they've had Debaltseve surrounded, which is what led to the crisis there in the first place in terms of needing this this Minsk Accord. And, you know, we had also the Eastern the separatist leaders saying, of course, we're going to follow suit with this Minsk Accord because we don't want foreign fighters on our soil either. And that's why we have these people surrounded and why we're going to create this green corridor to allow them to leave. So Poroshenko coming out still with some tough words, trying to appear as if he did not lose control of that situation. But essentially, the Kievian side of the Ukrainian military was handed its hat in Debaltseve and is lucky that the insurgent rebels over there, well, lucky that they're not as awful as the mainstream media would like us to believe, because they allowed these people to walk out. So there you go. And I'll tell you some financial news from Ukraine right now. The IMF aid packages have come through, and they have now pushed the Ukrainian gas prices up 280%. And this is for vehicle gas, 280%. And for heating gas, they're up 66%. And this is part of the terms that the IMF put on the Ukraine for getting these extra financial aid. So they're imposing new taxes on gas, essentially, there, just so that the IMF so that Ukraine can receive this $8.5 billion from the IMF by the end of the year. So, man, that's just like forced austerity right off the bat for the people there. So, again, who's suffering? It's not the rest of the EU. It's not Poroshenko. It's the freaking people who live in the Ukraine that have gone through this turmoil that we have paid for. And now, you know, there are people on the east side of the country with no power. There's been a million people displaced. Now gas prices are going to be up 280%. That's astronomical. I mean, it's still winter there. They still need heating oil. We're at a point now where this is, I think, Rick Rozoff would definitely classify this as a war of attrition, and it's a proxy war of attrition, and we're paying for it, ladies and gentlemen. So that's what's happening. Somebody in the chat room here. Yes, I agree with what you're saying there, truth be told. Peacekeepers in the UN with about 900 question marks. Is there really such a thing? It's like we might as well send Bigfoot in there with Santa Claus running the show, because I don't see any reason to put UN troops into eastern Ukraine other than the fact that we're going to have more foreign presence on the ground. And, you know, I think they're going to try and rope them into the NATO, and I think that's we're going to have some kind of cleansing in that eastern side of the country to get that to happen. Let's move on to Greece right now, too. There's been no developments, really, right now between Greece and the EU. So rather than keep this over in the financial news, since it does seem to affect everybody, I want to just put this up in the international stuff, because really, right now, in about the next 36 hours, if Athens and Brussels fail to come out with some kind of bailout deal, Greece really, honestly, 100%, this is not joking, could be forced to leave the Eurozone. And it really may not be that bad, but at the same time, it's going to have some ramifications. So we should all be ready. And the reason that I'm bringing this up right now is because a lot of these countries out there actually have bookies, you know, and you can bet on just about anything. So it's interesting to see right now what the odds are on the, you know, Greece leaving the Eurozone. And right now, there's a Eurasia Group European analyst who thinks that the odds are about 20% that the Greece will end up leaving. And Germany has got some, well, their Commerce Bank there. So we're actually talking about economic analysts here right now. But the Germany's Commerce Bank is up that percentage to about 50%. So 50% chance that Greece is probably going to leave the euro in the next 36 hours or so. It could be a very interesting Friday around the world is all I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen. So hope you're gearing up for it. Hope you're prepared just in case. You got your gold. You got anything you possibly need just in case the markets go haywire on Friday. I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen. It's all run by computer now anyway. So it's really, what are the computer's responses going to be to the Greek euro crisis? We just don't know. We don't know how, you know, we don't know. I don't know. Not going to pretend to know, but maybe Andrew Gauz will know. So tomorrow, if this hasn't happened yet, we'll talk to Andrew about that. Definitely looking forward to that discussion as well. Oh, okay. And some news out of Turkey right now. Turkey has been doing some pretty draconian bills. They've done some, clamping down on journalists and things like that, right? A lot of people probably don't know that a lot of fist fighting goes on inside of the Turkey parliament, the Turkish parliament there. These guys don't mess around. So apparently earlier this week, there was a major fight. Chairs were flying around, lawmakers trading punches, pretty much a brawl in parliament over this new security bill. There's a new security bill that they're trying to pass right now. And Erdogan, who's the president there, who's obviously pushing forward this legislation, is really draconian. And I kind of agree that people were actually fighting about this. Apparently five different lawmakers were actually injured Wednesday when the fight broke out as the opposition leaders tried to delay this debate on this legislation. But anyway, the government says right now they're trying to pass this measure to give police heightened powers to break up demonstrations, right? And they're aimed at preventing violence, such as the deadly clashes that broke out last year between the Kurdish and the supporters of the Islamic group and police, right? But critics say that the new measures are part of a steady march towards preventing mass demonstrations that threaten Erdogan's iron grip over Turkish politics. The bill that we're talking about right now would expand police rights to use firearms, allow them to search people or vehicles without a court order, and detain people for up to 48 hours without any kind of prosecutor authorization. Police would also be permitted to use firearms against demonstrators who are using things like Molotov cocktails or rocks. That's scary. And demonstrators who use their who cover their faces with masks and scarves during violent demonstrations could now face 4 years in prison. More importantly, and even scarier than all of that, the measure would give governors, not just prosecutors and judges, the right to order arrests. Talk about a slippery slope, ladies and gentlemen. And the head of the Turkish Bar Association even came out and said giving local governors even limited powers to arrest or to order arrests without going to court is pretty much tantamount to martial law. And this is an extremely dangerous development going on in Turkey, so hence the fist fight that took place in parliament. And at least you know that there are some good parliamentary people over there that are willing to stand up and punch somebody in the face for suggesting more draconian measures like that in Turkey. But I'll tell you what, it's not looking good in Turkey right now. If you're a journalist or if you're somebody who does not like Erdogan, man, that guy is just cramping down on people. I'll talk a little bit too. France apparently is tracking Hundreds of people believed to belong to possible sleeper cells for terror organizations like Al-Qaeda or the Islamic State, according to a country's top security official. He came out and said this yesterday in an official interview with the AP. Uh-oh. Hang on a second. We lost it. Okay, that page is refreshing, so we'll go someplace else. Oh, what else do we want to talk about this morning? Let's see. Oh, man, I got to talk a little bit about this also from France right now. There's been a rash of anti-Semitic gravestone desecrations going on all across France over the last few days. And dozens more graves were vandalized at French cemeteries over this early part of this week. Again, hundreds of Jewish graves over the weekend in Sarre Union had a clear anti-Semitic motive, according to some of the French authorities there. The Interior Ministry said crucifixes were overturned and gravesites disturbed in a little tiny town next to where the D-Day landing beaches were, as well as in Saint-Bede in southwest France. So again, kind of a crazy deal that a whole bunch of anti-Semitic instances or desecrations of gravesites taking place all over France right now. Not good stuff there. Okay, back to this France tracking 400 people. They're tracking 400 people right now that they believe to be in terrorist sleeper cells like Al-Qaeda or the Islamic State. And in an interview with the Associated Press, the Interior Minister there in Paris laid out what has become an increasingly urgent question for European intelligence services: how to trace the moment when someone transforms from a disgruntled criminal to a disaffected citizen into a terrorist. So anyway, 400 targets have been identified by the intelligence services that are basically in sleeper cells affiliated or in relation to Al-Qaeda type organizations right now in France. So there you go. That's what's going on in France right now. Let's see what else is happening in the world. Okay, seriously, everybody in the chat room or in the Skype chat room who's talking about the weather and how wonderful it is out there, it's freezing here. Let's get off that, can we? Thanks. Okay, the United States is also maintaining a list of about two dozen or so top ISIS operatives operating in Iraq and Syria. It hopes to target an airstrike. So just a reminder, the United States still is carrying on a kill list for ISIS targets in Iraq and also in Syria. We're still saying no boots on the ground, but again, we had that thing yesterday about troops going to Baghdad or was it Kuwait? Kuwait, a whole new brigade going out to Kuwait, 4,000 new troops. So that's what's going on there. Moving away from some of the other international stories. Again, lots more news at redpillreports.com. If you guys want to go check out the show section there, that is a great place for you to keep up to date. Oh, man, Chicago is getting brutal right now. It is, I guess, right now about 5 degrees in Chicago. Brutal cold. Should be lasting about through today. Wind chill advisory going into effect last night. Lasts until about Thursday at noon today. But on Thursday, today, it's supposed to get even colder. It's supposed to be -8 or -9 there in Chicago. A lot of people across the country right now dealing with some very cold weather. Very, very cold weather. That's a good question. Robert's suggesting that there could be some weather warfare going on right now. And I'll tell you, if you wanted to cripple the Northeast, man, sending storm after storm after storm on an almost weekly basis at this point, that would be a pretty effective tactic. Here's an interesting story you guys might find, you know, interesting. There's a state senator that needs to be taken out of office. He's in Arkansas. His name is Jason Rappert. He is a senator, again, from Arkansas. He took to Facebook over the weekend to suggest the best way to quickly turn things around in territory captured by the Islamic State extremists. And how did he suggest that we do that? Well, he thinks that a strategically placed nuclear weapon would be the right answer. He says, with ISIS spreading all over the Middle East and Africa and Islamic extremists carrying out violence in Europe and the United Kingdom and even here in the United States, I wonder why the civilized world just sits by when we have the weapons that could wipe out these barbarians and right where they're concentrated. Okay. That makes my eyeball twitch. I'm not going to lie when I read that we actually have a state senator. His name, again, he's from Arkansas, Jason Rappert. Might be the last time he needs to be in office. But, yeah, he's saying that potentially the best way to solve the concentrated issue of ISIS, you know, the fix this problem where ISIS is really concentrated, not really determining whether or not they're in the UK or whether or not they're in Europe or, you know, someplace else that might be considered an ally. We should just go ahead and drop tactical nuclear weapons on them. That'll solve this whole problem. That probably won't be any blowback or anything like that. I don't even know what blowback is. I don't even know how I got here. Would you guys buy me something? Wow. State senator. Can you imagine being that powerful and that out of touch with reality. Just wow. Okay. Oh, I want to talk a little bit too about the back and forth that's going on right now between Barack Obama and obviously this Fifth Circuit judge. There has been a couple of new legal opinions that have been brought up regarding whether or not anybody thinks Barack Obama's challenge to this Fifth Circuit judge there in Texas is going to be successful or not. So we're going to talk about that. Again, we're going to go to a break here in just a few minutes, and I'll give you guys a couple of other headlines that are going on right now, too. There's a new head of the Secret Service. We should probably talk about that just a little bit. The United States right now is expecting to quadruple the number of Syrian refugees brought here. That's probably a really great idea right now. And there's actually a surprising poll that has come out showing a surprising leader, a front runner there to replace Senator Barbara Boxer. Remember the Democrat from California who has recently decided to retire. There's been a poll that's come out, and the person that they suggest is at the lead for her for replacing her job. Pretty impressive, actually, in terms of it. Well, at least in terms of California. Let's see. Jeb Bush has come out and said stupid things, so we'll talk about that when we come back. We do have a lot of science and tech stuff today. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to use the word balls a couple more times. Nothing really, dirty or whatever, but we talked about the Navy ball yesterday, which was actually really, really interesting. And then there's some other, balls that we have to talk about today in the health news. Hate to break it, I'm just laying it out there for you guys. So we're going to come back. We'll talk about that. Not in the health news, in the science and tech news. And then we do have some health stuff. We have obviously a little bit of economic news as well. We'll come back from this break, talk about the markets. And of course, the one and only Deborah Tavares will be joining us. We're going to talk about this AAAS scientific symposium that she was at in San Jose over this last week. And she says, oh my gosh, ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to believe it. Not going to believe it. Get your pens and papers ready. We're going to go to this 3-minute break. We'll come back. Lots more news. Deborah Tavares, just a few minutes away. Keep it right here, guys. Thanks for being in the chat room this morning. We'll see you in a second.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. Hemp U.S. USA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Down the rabbit hole with Popeye, Tuesday through Friday,
Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. And thank you guys all in the chat room. So nice to see the morning crew. I call you guys the morning crew because it's morning here, even though I know some of you guys are in the UK and it's probably evening or October or whatever it is. I don't know how the global, you know, time change thing works, but I really appreciate you guys being in that chat room this morning. It's very, very cool to see all you guys in there. Woodwolf is in there. Truth Be Told. PRC's in there. Poet Fisherman. Oversilence. Obsidian. Lex is always in there. Love seeing him in the morning there. John Titer and K-Mass. Man, super cool having you guys in there. Really appreciate you following along. And if you guys have any questions for Deborah Tavares coming up, start getting them formulated now because she moves quick and sometimes it's difficult to segue into stuff. So if you guys can stick them in there soon, I'll do what I can to get them moved along. I want to talk about the situation again developing between this judge in Texas and Mr. Obama because I think it's a really interesting issue right now. So apparently there's a lot of people. Reuters came out yesterday, said, you know, Barack Obama's administration, they're going to have a pretty difficult and possibly legal battle over this, trying to overturn this Texas court ruling that just happened the other day. Obviously the one that blocked his landmark immigration overhaul. Since the judge in this decision, he based it on a fairly obscure and unsettled area of administrative law. So in his ruling on Monday, that upended the plans to shield millions of Americans or millions of people from deportation, I should say. The U.S. District Judge Andrew Hannon, he avoided diving into sweeping unconstitutional questions or tackling presidential powers head on. Instead, he faulted Obama for not giving public notice of his plans. That's what it came down to. The failure to do so, Hannon wrote, was a violation of the 1946 Administrative Procedure Act, which requires notice in a publication called the Federal Register, as well as an opportunity for people to submit views in writing. And this ruling, however narrow, marked an initial victory for 26 states that brought the case alleging Obama had exceeded his powers with executive orders that would allow up to 4.7 million illegal immigrants to stay without threat of deportation. So the U.S. Justice Department now preparing an appeal of Hannon's temporary injunction to the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans. The court could consider an emergency request to block Hannon's ruling potentially within days, although most of the 23 judges of the court were appointed by Republican presidents. So that's the first hurdle that they would probably try and jump over to get through this emergency request to block the ruling. But again, 23 judges there in the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans, all appointed by Republican presidents. So there's probably a pretty good chance that that's not going to be successful going that route. And then so there's no consensus right now among lawmakers with expertise in administrative law and immigration law on whether Hannon would be reversed on appeal. But they said that the judge was extremely smart to focus on an area of administrative law where the legal precedent is sometimes fairly fuzzy. So that's what this guy did. So again, his ruling turned on the Administrative Procedure Act's requirement that a proposed rule or regulation appear in the Federal Register so people have a chance to comment on it. And the Federal Register is the daily journal of the United States governmental proceedings. This notice and comment requirement acts as a brake on all presidents, slowing their plans by months or years. And so for Hannon, the pivotal question in this entire thing came down to whether or not the new rules, such as granting work permits to potentially millions of illegal immigrants, was binding on federal agents or was it merely a general guidance? And he ruled that these rule changes were actually binding, and because they were binding, Obama should have allowed for notice and comment. So again, kind of a fuzzy area of the law, but that is what the entire battle is turning on right now. And, you know, a lot of people, a lot of law experts saying that's going to be really difficult to get around that judge's injunction there. So hopefully, I don't know where you guys come down on it, but I'm in support of that judge. I think we should be much better control of our borders at this point. If we buy into the entire global terrorist motif, then I think we should probably have a secure border. But that's not what the government wants right now. Anyway, President Obama also disregarding a government panel's recommendation to appoint an outsider as the next Secret Service director, he has chosen the former chief of his own personal security detail to now head the embattled agency, according to a White House official just yesterday. So the Obama now plans to name Joseph Clancy to the post 4 months after Clancy assumed the role of interim director ahead of this shakeup in the Secret Service ranks that we've all been witnessing just over the last few months now. Clancy has served in the presidential detail for Obama and also for former President Bill Clinton. He left the Secret Service in 2011 to become the head of a corporate security at Comcast, but Obama asked him back to assume the interim role back in October. So again, Joseph Clancy now being picked as the new head of the Secret Service. It's really good to have friends in high places, is it not, ladies and gentlemen? Man, it'd be a great job if you could get it. Okay. Let's move on here. The U.S. right now expecting to quadruple the number of Syrian refugees brought here. United States has a long tradition of welcoming refugees, and it expects to welcome thousands more of them from Syria in 2015 and 2016, despite concerns about foreign fighters. This is, of course, according to Jen Psaki at the State Department. She says the U.S. has already admitted 524 Syrians since 2011, and we likely will admit between 1,000 and 2,000 Syrian refugees for permanent resettlement in this next fiscal year, and a somewhat higher number. Although still in the low thousands in fiscal year 2016. So again, I don't want to come out and say I don't want refugees coming here, because that's not who we are. You know, we obviously want everybody to be okay. Where our main goal here at Red Pill Reports is not to disseminate democracy, but it's to disseminate liberty around the world. And, but at the same time, their potential does exist that we have trained some of these people, and that, they might have some ill intentions for us, and they may end up now becoming, it's going to be a lot easier for them to get here. So I don't know. Jen Psaki says that, national security is the main priority for the government. But we've already said, we've already seen 70,000 refugees, from just this year from all over the world. So, I don't know if there's a balance there between national security and having this open border policy that we seem to have. I just don't know. I want to talk about, too, this poll that came out in California talking about the leader in the race to replace retiring U.S. Senator Barbara Boxer in America's most liberal state. This might come as a surprise to you guys, but who is it? It is Republican Condoleezza Rice. According to a new field poll, it was released just yesterday, Rice, who's the former Secretary of State and Stanford Don, she is backed by 49% of the voters, ahead of Attorney General Kamala Harris, who is the liberal Democrat who was the first to declare her running to replace Barbara Boxer. So right now, has the world completely gone crazy? A Republican leading the charge to replace Senator Boxer in California. Cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria. I don't know what else to say about that. But yeah, Condoleezza Rice, and I'm sure a lot of people probably are not a really big fan of Condoleezza Rice. It probably has a lot to do with name recognition, the fact that she's already been in the national spotlight so many times that people, recognize that name and are going to put her down. But that in and of itself is enough reason to be concerned if you don't support Condoleezza Rice. I think she was one of those people maybe touting that line about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. My memory's a little fuzzy. Maybe somebody can back me up on that in the chat room, but I'm pretty sure was part of that whole, we gotta go to Iraq to kill the people from Saudi Arabia program, if I'm not mistaken. So anyway, also in election news, Republican presidential hopeful Jeb Bush has officially declared himself a supporter of the NSA's controversial program to collect and store America's phone bulk records there. Speaking Wednesday afternoon at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, the former Florida governor, called the NSA's practice of collecting and storing American phone records in bulk as a hugely important program. And he actually went so far as to express confusion about why it would be a controversial issue at all. He says, preventing terrorist attacks requires intelligence gathering, including the NSA metadata program. For the life of me, I do not understand the debate. So there you go. If you're one of those people out there thinking, man, maybe this Jeb Bush guy, maybe the apple does fall a little farther from the tree, and maybe he's not all that bad. Well, yeah, I think someone just in the chat room said it pretty well, and I can't repeat it on air, but again, you're missing a lot if you guys aren't in the chat room at truthfrequencyradio.com. Yeah, Jeb, you just took your, swept the old legs right out from under yourself there. But again, man, the juggernaut that is Jeb Bush's, ability to, raise funds for this election is absolutely unbelievable. I think we'll see $1 billion being spent on this election between her, between Jeb and Hillary. I tell you what, this is, yes, doomed. That's exactly right. Truth be told, said it right. Hillary or Bush, this country is doomed. Yes, I agree. I don't know where else to go with that, because we are. If that's the show that we're getting ready to watch on television, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a spectacle. I mean, it's going to be a spectacle. Woo, love it. Go team. All right. Oh, some local news for some of you kids out there. Torrance, California, there was an explosion at the ExxonMobil refinery. It's currently under investigation, but it did result in a 3-alarm fire yesterday morning, and they did get it put out. The explosion apparently caused a petroleum leak there, which prompted a refinery worker to activate the plant's flare systems, and big old smoky mess, and yeah, big explosion. I got some friends who live outside of Torrance, so we had some firsthand pictures of this coming in yesterday before the news was even covering it, but glad nobody was hurt. The couple of firefighters, first responders, dealing with some minor injuries when they first got their inhalation and things like that. And it does not look like there's going to be a lot of environmental impact from that there in Torrance. So glad that things are okay. Also, with the drought situation that's going on in Hollywood, man, they got a major encore yesterday, and not in a great way, but an 18-inch water main broke early Wednesday morning in the lower Hollywood Hills, flooding streets, submerging vehicles, and prompting what is probably still now going on as hours and hours of repair work. But the pipe broke in the 6400 block of Dix Street near Cahuenga Boulevard, and a few hundred feet from the 101, and about 100 people without water service. But we're talking about 100,000 gallons of water that they lost during this water main break. And again, LA not in a position to be able to spare 100,000 gallons right now. And vehicles, I mean, flooded up to their roofs in some areas where they were walled in. Major, major disaster, I guess you could call it, if you are there in the Hollywood Hills. But no injuries, no deaths, nothing super awful like that. So that's good. Okay, let's talk about the markets here real quick, figure out what is going on. Man, I'll tell you what, trading has just been so flat. I think everybody is on pins and needles waiting to see exactly what Greece is going to do coming up in the next 36 hours. We've seen almost no movement on the Dow, you know, for the last 3 or 4 or 5 days, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but down just a touch today, 20 points down. We're still above 18,000 on the Dow. The S&P is still darn near 2,100, and it's actually rising just a touch right now. Pardon me. Let's see. Silver sitting at $16.48 big pennies. Gold come up today from the 1200 mark that we were at yesterday, but not a whole lot, about 1%. So at 1212 right now. Crude oil was down a little bit in early trading today to about $50, and it has come back up right now to 5206. So really not a lot of movement in any of the markets, which is, you know, kind of surprising. Bitcoin up just a touch again today, 234. We'll get you a Bitcoin. The euro gaining just a touch against the dollar at 113.89. So again, everybody is just playing the waiting game right now. I really, really think that. I want to talk about the Baltic Dry Index for just a second, because somebody brought that up in the chat room, and I had to be honest, that was something that I hadn't really focused a whole lot of attention on. And I'll tell you what, I am dumb for not looking at that, because that is a major economic indicator, and I can't believe I haven't been given that number every day, and I don't even have a way to give it to you right now, so I'm failing currently. But what is the Baltic Dry Index, and why is paying attention to it right now important? Okay, so let's talk about that. It's the BDI right now is actually a precursor to three different stock market corrections. The BDI can be used as a precursor, looking back in history, to three different pretty severe stock market corrections. So is there causation between the BDI and stock market corrections? Is there a correlation there? We don't really know. But the last time that the BDI has crashed the way it is crashed right now, we've seen some pretty substantial market corrections. We'll have to talk to Andrew about this tomorrow. But the Baltic Dry Index, okay, is usually referred to as the BDI, making historic lows in recent weeks, pretty much every week. It hit another historic low yesterday. The index is a composition of four sub-indexes that follow shipping freight rates. Okay, each of the four sub-indexes follows a different ship size category, and the BDI mixes them all together to get a sense of global shipping freight rates. Okay, that's essentially what we're looking for. The index follows dry bulk shipping rates, which represent the trade of various raw materials like iron, cement, copper, etc. All right. The main argument for looking at the BDI is as an economic indicator is that end demand for those raw materials is tightly tied to economic activity. So if demand for those raw materials is weak, one of the first places that will be evident is in the shipping prices. The supply of ships is not very flexible, so the changes to the index are more likely caused by changes in demand. And right now, again, the BDI is as low as it can possibly be. It's I think hit all-time lows yesterday. And it has a lot to do with the ports that are shut down on the West Coast. We've also got Chinese New Year going on right now, so they're not shipping anything. But again, the Baltic Dry Index is important because, when you look at it, it's in a free fall. It's dropped off a cliff. And you combine that with these falling oil prices, which apparently haven't bottomed yet because we're still seeing the global supply going up in oil, despite the fact that we're losing rigs in the United States at record pace. The supply is still happening. We're still getting a glut in supply and demand is still going down. So those are two pretty major important things to think about. But if people are not shipping goods, that means the shelves are full of products, and the shelves are full of products, that means the products are not moving. So as an economic indicator, the fact that the BDI is super low right now, of course, again, the ports being shut down having a lot to do with this, but it's just more canaries in the coal mine, I guess, right now. So we'll keep an eye on that. Again, you guys should definitely be in a position of having storable food and gold and silver right now, just in case things go crazy. Right now, Phoenix Capital Research has put up BDI right now up 2 to 511. Thank you, truth be told. I appreciate that update. So we're up just off the lows from yesterday, but 500, not really a really strong number there as far as I can tell. Anyway, Phoenix Capital Research has put out an article right now suggesting that Europe is probably going to begin both capital and border controls here coming up in the future. And this isn't really idle conjecture. We know that the political elite in the Europe are all only too happy to ignore the rule of law whenever the crisis gets too far out of hand. And again, this won't even be the first time that this happens in the EU. Back in March of 2012, when the EU crisis first began to spin out of control, then Prime Minister of France, Sarkozy, openly called for the renegotiation of the Schengen theory, the Schengen Treaty, which was the treaty that established the 26-nation EU as borderless entity, in which individuals could move from one country to another with little difficulty, and also made free trade among EU members quite a bit easier. And so France at the time was not alone either. A few months later, both France and Germany were proposing imposing border controls in June of that year. So again, Germany and France joint proposal to allow the Schengen zone countries to temporarily reintroduce border controls as a means of last resort might sound harmless, but doing so would damage one of the strongest symbols of the European unity and perhaps even contribute to the EU's demise. And France and Germany are still thinking about this, and it seems like they're a little bit more serious this time. And during next week's meeting of the EU interior ministers, the two countries plan to start a discussion again about reintroducing national border controls within the zone. And according to the German Daily there, German interior minister and the French counterpart have formulated a letter to their colleagues in which they call for governments to once again be allowed to control their borders as an ultima ratio, that means a measure of last resort, and for a limited period of time. And they reportedly go on to recommend 30 days as that period of time. Right now the European banking system as a whole is leveraged at about 26-1. That's the entire European banking system, right? Leveraged at near Lehman levels. Lehman was at 30-1 when it collapsed. Let's put this into perspective. With a leverage level of 26-1, you only need a drop of 4% in your asset prices to wipe out all of the capital. let me say that again. With a leverage level of 26 to 1, you only need a 4% drop in asset prices to wipe out all of your capital. What are the odds that the European banks' assets have fallen 4% in value over the last 2 years? Yeah, I think it's probably definitive at this point. So the European crisis, not over. When will the next round really hit, whether it'll be from Greece leaving the euro or some other issue? But this makes a pretty strong case that we're going to see probably capital and border controls being implemented across the EU if Greece does decide to leave the euro. And Tyler Durden's got a great article too, also from Zero Hedge, suggesting that Greece is probably going to run out of money in about a week if they don't figure out what they're going to do. Think about the steps that they would have to go through if they left the euro. I mean, they'd have to re-liquidate all of their banks. They'd have to reprint a whole bunch of money. That's one of the reasons that I think Rick may be correct on Greece not leaving the euro, is because I think we would have seen, you'd have to lay so much groundwork. I mean, they'd have to start, I don't know if they've got, you know, a treasure trove of their old currency sitting around someplace, but they would have to reissue that. You'd have to get all that to the banks, immediately. Some people are suggesting right now that this weekend could be the weekend that all this is going to go down. And because essentially once the markets close on Friday, Greece essentially has about 46 hours to kind of get their stuff together if they were going to go through this entire process. Mining.com also suggests that if Greece does in fact leave the euro, that the panic buying could potentially push gold up to $2,000 an ounce. Remember, we have seen $1,600 an ounce before, so really $2,000 is not really that far away. But again, could potentially do that. Oh, I want to give some good news about McDonald's right now. On Monday this week, McDonald's reported that the same store sales that declined 2.2% month on month, remember that last month, which it missed their 1.7 potential decline that they were hoping for, declined 2.2%. Last month was even worse. They were down another 4.6%. Yay, all of you people out there smart enough not to shop at McDonald's. Let's put these bastards out of business. I love it. You know, if they, I don't know if you guys saw, somebody sent me an article earlier in the week about, they're giving out vaccinations with Happy Meals in Texas. And at first I thought there's just no way that that's true. Thinking that, you know, they're offering a free flu shot with a Happy Meal in Texas. Turns out that wasn't true. They're not just offering a flu shot. They're offering all kinds of shots to kids. Booster shots, all your MMR vaccines. I mean, golly, can you imagine going and getting your MMR vaccine boosters at a McDonald's? Maybe if McDonald's was to focus on selling nutritious food that actually showed that they cared about people, people might actually shop there again. But I don't know. Good old marketing, they'll get you that way, I guess. Okay, let's talk about some science stuff real quick, because there was some good stuff happening here. Okay, this is going to be a crash course here, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, got to talk about this story on Science News. Team of researchers, just tell me what you guys think about this. This is going to blow your mind. A team of researchers from Europe, the U.S., Chile, and South Africa concluded, this is real, that a dim star passed through the Oort cloud, our solar system's distant cloud of comets, and that star missed the Earth by less than one light year and passed five times closer than the current closest star, Proxima Centauri. Think about this. In a paper published in the Astrophysical Journal Letters, okay, this is led by some people from the University of Rochester and blah, 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 they say that without a doubt, a small dwarf star passed within a light year of Earth 70,000 years ago. What? Okay, there were people on the planet 70,000 years ago, and this would have been visible because it would have been passing through the Oort cloud. There would have been all kinds of comets stirred up and all kinds of things. It probably would have looked like a big red dim ball in the sky. Where have we heard this story before, kids? The fact now that scientists and astronomical people are coming out and saying, yes, this did actually happen. The Schlotze star is what it's called, moved faster. It missed Earth by a whisker in astronomical terms. It actually passed 0.8 light years away from the Earth at about 8 trillion kilometers, and it happened 70,000 years ago. So can anybody else say Nibiru? I mean, wow. I don't even know what else to say about that. But the fact that that's like out in a scientific journal now, that a small red dwarf star, it's actually a binary star system too, so there's actually two brown dwarfs that pass within a light year of Earth, would have been visible. just pointing that out. Thought that was really crazy. We also had that story the other day about scientists storing data in DNA. Well, they've taken it a step further. It's interesting to see Moore's Law take place in all of these different fields because everything is just happening so quickly. But now scientists are saying that 1 gram of this DNA can potentially hold up to 455 exabytes of data. Remember that. But just to put that into perspective for you guys, that means we would need about 4 grams of DNA, about a teaspoon, to hold every single thing from Plato through the complete works of Shakespeare to Beyonce's latest album, and not to mention every picture of food ever posted on Instagram. 1 tablespoon or teaspoon of DNA could store in data form all the entirety of human experience, all in that. Is that not mind-blowing? Okay. Gotta talk about balls. Sorry, guys. But this also happened, and this totally blows my mind. A newly discovered microscopic ball could have been sent to Earth by alien civilizations in an attempt to start life here, according to a new British scientist claim. This is really crazy because there's actually a story. So these guys took some weather balloons, sent them up in the air, and they were trying to do research into directed panspermia. So this idea that things are coming in all the time, bacteria and, you know, extraterrestrial things that are coming in, seeding the planet, right? So they had these balloons. They sent these balloons up only for one day, right? And this little tiny metal sphere hit the balloon, and it created an impact crater that, you know, ratio-wise would have been the same as it would have created on Earth had it been there. But microscopic in size, about the size of a pinhead, right? And they took pictures of this thing. Again, it's a metal ball, and it is spewing out some kind of liquid. They are testing it. They think it is spewing out some kind of genetic material. There's a picture of it. You can go to redpillreports.com and into the show section. But this, they found a little ball. They know because of the way the balloon works that it was incoming. It wasn't something that was, you know, had been bounced up from us. It was coming in from outer space. It's an unidentifiable metal ball, and it's spewing out genetic material. I mean, and this is just like they just did it one day. This is just one, you know, so it could be happening all the time. It really kind of changes the perspective on where life originates, or, you know, gives you at least another idea on what could actually be going on out there. I just found that to be terrifically interesting. And, I don't know. I mean, that's that the picture of this thing spewing out whatever it's spewing out is startlingly clear and very, very interesting. Definitely changes the perspective that I had in my mind on where life, the fact that it's going on currently right now, that means all these little microscopic balls of DNA could be spewed out all over the atmosphere, all over the galaxy all the time. Very, very crazy stuff. Okay. We got to go to a break. I didn't get through all the news. Please go to redpillreports.com. Check out the show section. Lots of good news. There's another story about balls that I didn't get to. And there's some good health stuff today, too. So do check it out. We're going to come back from this 3-minute break, and we will have Deborah Tavares on, the one and only. I hope you guys stick around. Stay in the chat room. Get your questions ready. Grab a pen and a piece of paper. Just a heads up. We'll be right back, guys. 3-minute break.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. it is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Judith Baker was once a promising science student who dreamed of finding a cure for cancer. This exposé is an account of how she strayed from a path of mainstream scholarship to a life of espionage in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald. In her narrative, she offers extensive documentation on how she came to be a cancer expert and what led to her involvement in the development of a biological weapon that Oswald was to smuggle into Cuba to eliminate Fidel Castro. Details on what she knew of Kennedy's impending assassination and her belief that Oswald was a deep cover intelligence agent who was framed for an assassination he was actually trying to prevent are also revealed. Me and Lee by Judith Baker. Special JFK 50th Anniversary Signed Limited Edition. $30 including shipping. Limited number of these available. Order your copy today at federaljack.com/store.
Real people, real radio.
Initiating the truth frequency. This is Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys very much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. And thank you all of you again who are joining us in the chat room today. Our very special guest probably doesn't need much of an introduction for all of you listeners out there. Of course, we're talking about the one and only Deborah Tavares. But for those of you guys who don't know, Deborah Tavares has been leading the charge really fundamentally against the New World Order and against Agenda 21 and all of these ridiculous encroachments that are going on. She speaks out against things like the smart meters that are going in, all of this electromagnetic interference, the pharmaceuticals, the resource, the stealing that is going on. I mean, she is absolutely at the forefront of the fight against the New World Order. And I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, there's really nobody in the world that I would trust to keep me more up to date on the things that I need to know about that are going on down here on a community level, because while of these plans, like this whole Agenda 21, obviously coming out of the UN, the bottom line is that this stuff is happening in your community right now. And there's nobody else out there who is as involved with the research and who is as involved with trying to get the word out as Deborah Tavares. So anytime we can, get some of her free time, which I guarantee you guys is few and far between, we are very appreciative. So, Deborah, thank you once again for coming and joining us on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast this morning.
Well, JD, thank you so much for having me on. And I have just a number of hot topics that I'm going to jump into right now, and then we'll get into some of the most recent programs that we've witnessed and filmed.
Okay.
But I want to alert everybody to a couple of things right now. Of course, Valentine's is come and gone, but there was a group in San Francisco that filed a legal notice prior to Valentine's Day on discovering that some of the big chocolate companies were putting cadmium and lead in their chocolate.
Yes.
And this group believes that they should post warnings on the chocolates to advise us that they're putting poisons and toxins in the food supply.
Mm-hmm.
This is as insane as the labeling of genetically modified toxic poisonous organisms as well. So for those of you that did not catch that story about the poisons in the chocolate, you need to. There's also a very good YouTube up and out about the kidnapping of children in Africa by Africans, taking them to the Gold Coast, slave coast, and literally giving them machetes. We're talking about 10, 11, 12-year-old boys and girls, giving them machetes to cut the carob pods out of the trees for Nestle.
Ugh.
So you need to understand the organized crime knows no level of assault. The profit and the markets that are global now and the corporations' stranglehold on all of us at every level, knows no morality, no ethics, and has no concern for life, as we are now all clearly saying.
Yes.
Now, I wanted to bring something else to everyone's attention, because I'm looking at the front page of the San Francisco Chronicle here in Northern California, where I am, and this is February the 8th of 2015. They're talking about the vaccine opt-outs puts the state of California at risk. So what we're seeing now is the eliminating of opt-outs based on religious convictions.
Right.
The opt-outs were never to have been a forever allowance for people to refuse the toxic, poisonous vaccines. It was just a way to identify those that are aware that the vaccines are toxic and dangerous. In the meantime, for all these years, they've been injecting poisons into the population globally and stroking people out. Now, I just found out about this, and I'm going to refer everyone to our website. It's stopthecrime.net. Right underneath the banner on the homepage, you're going to see Hot Radio Show Topics. It's a link, Hot Radio Show Topics. When you click on that, you're going to get to an extremely important YouTube that I would recommend everyone watch and blast this out, get this out far and wide. It's a YouTube entitled Vaccine Injuries, The Truths Are Here, Dr. Andrew Mouldin, M-O-U-L-D-E-N, M-O-U-L-D-E-N. Watch this YouTube. Dr. Andrew Mouldin died suspiciously in his late 40s with a heart attack. He was cross-educated in all the modalities of the de facto corrupt weaponized medical schooling so that he could understand why the different backgrounds were not linking together. In other words, why various doctors in different modalities weren't piecing the pie together as he did. And what he did, J.D., was astounding. He started to realize that the vaccines were stroking the children out and stroking the adults out. This is why heart disease is number one. And what he could do is he could get childhood or baby pictures, line them together, and compare when the vaccinations were given. And you can literally look at the eye dropping, at the mouth dropping, a droop. And I cannot recommend people watching this because doctors do not look at the symmetry of our faces to understand that there have been multiple strokes, almost even for many at birth. And this is where seizures start with children.
Mm-hmm.
We have been globally poisoned by these toxins in these vaccines, and we have been stroked out.
Wow.
So again, watch the vaccine injuries. The truths are here. Dr. Andrew Mouldin, you can find that on stopthecrime.net under Hot Radio Show Topic links. I have a number of vaccine announcements there as well. Also, I would recommend, and I have this posted as well, that everyone beware of petitions and calling your legislators about wanting them to support lobbying against Big Pharma
wow.
and the vaccine initiative.
That's so funny that you mentioned that, because just today there was a new petition put up at Natural News talking about, you know, this new law that they're trying to basically take away everybody's right to refuse vaccinations, and they're going to try and pass it. And they put up this petition saying, you know, sign this petition. And as soon as I saw it, I thought, man, I don't know if that's a list that I want to put my name on with the amount of money that these lobbyists and the pharmaceutical and Big Pharma have. Boy, I don't know if I want to sign up on that. So you're saying probably not a good idea, huh?
Yeah, well, there are many documents that tell us why they have polls and surveys and petitions. And, of course, now we know all of this information on every individual is stored in a massive database. And they know exactly where the pockets of unvaccinated parents will be located geographically and by using zip codes.
Wow.
So, and then they will focus false media in that area, probably then going after parents and children that are unvaccinated
mm-hmm.
in those specific pockets, again, of awareness. This shows them areas within the country of people that are still awake so that they'll know how to, sufficiently poison them, either by increasing various components in the chemtrails adding poisons to the water supply, and or they also do food streaming, where the delivery systems of food are centralized, but they'll use the same packaging and put different levels of toxins in the food supply based on what they need to do given certain areas. And so, again, I certainly am in support of withholding your data wherever possible. Mm-hmm. Many people that I talk to certainly understand that as being protective of your identity, which is going to become increasingly more difficult, if not already impossible. But I wouldn't hand anything over. I wouldn't help them collect data on you. So, again, that's certainly something to consider. Another thing that I wanted to cover is we have an extremely disturbing YouTube up on stopthecrime.net. If you go to the homepage, it's a link under the banner, and I'm not recommending that everybody watch this by far, but it was requested that we get this out far and wide. It is extremely disturbing, and it is pathetically horrific, and we need to at least know about it, and I know that for some they are getting it out as a request made by the family. Under the, again, the banner of stopthecrime.net on the homepage, JD, you will find a link, Kids for Profit and Eugenics in the School. Now, this is a collection of documents from Planned Parenthood, the Packard Corporation, a number of documents out of the UK, entitled ARC, A-R-K, which means Absolute Return on Kids, the connections with Rothschild and with other deviant sexually positioned organizations that are literally intending to legalize pedophilia and rape. And this link on the site is intended to show parents what is behind the Common Core curriculum of early child sex education. What we see now is a push to enroll 3- and 4-year-olds in school with the stated goal of becoming kindergarten ready. The reality is this deviant sex presentation to the kids. This is the same agenda that they use on compartmentalizing and destroying MKUltra victims through deviant sex. And we have on that link, again, the link is entitled Kids for Profit and Eugenics in the School. You will find a 13-page document there entitled Project Monarch, Nazi Mind Control. It's only 13 pages. I would recommend that everybody read it. I would also recommend that everybody take a look at the letter that came out of New York. It was signed by, there are 85 pages of signatures, and it's only about a 2-page letter. And it was a beware school principals warning to all parents, education and testing. And it was an open letter to the parents of children throughout the New York State regarding grades 3 through 8 and the testing. And this will apply to all other school districts, of course, in the country eventually. But what they sent home letters apologizing to the parents that they recognize their requirement to take care of the children, but they could not prevent the children from the emotional trauma that they all encountered as a result of this new Common Core psychologically destroying testing that is being presented. Hmm. They said that children have reached disastrous levels of responses due to the test. Many children cried during the testing. Others vomited. Others lost control of their bowels and bladders. They simply gave up. One teacher reported that a student kept banging his head on the desk, and he wrote, "This is too hard. I can't do this," throughout the test. These tests are designed to evoke psychological meltdowns and breakdowns so that they can then identify the children in need of pharmaceuticals.
Right.
I recently attended a pharmaceutical program. It was a marketing program. There were about 12 people in the room, and their marketing strategy is to present pharmaceuticals equal to food.
Oh.
So the idea is to create the illusion that we need pharmaceuticals. And, of course, one of the reasons that many people will accept this idea, JD, is because we're into a human enhancement era where people will be given, as the soldiers are already overseas, they're given all kinds of drugs to stimulate their ability to literally not need sleep, to be physically more greatly empowered. This is in preparation of the transhumanism agenda, evolving us into something different than what we've currently defined as being human. But what I want to point out on this website, again, are all of the things that I would recommend everyone take a look at. Certainly there are many groups against the Common Core curriculum already throughout the country. Their efforts have been to try to literally get their legislators to dissolve Common Core. What everyone needs to understand is the Department of Education is incorporated. They no longer work for us. And education is a big business. In fact, we recently discovered, which was very disturbing, actually, Department of Defense is tracking all children that have autism or that have learning disabilities. They're being tracked by the Department of Defense because, of course, autism is a created environmental reality. We now are told that a 1 in 50 births will be born onto the autistic spectrum. We are literally with the autistic spectrum because I'm very familiar with that. I have a high-functioning autistic grandchild. And what we have observed across the board in all of the research we've done is that there is the inability to have reciprocal emotions. They're almost robotized. And this is very dangerous for society. When you look at Bill Gates, who is also on the spectrum, or at least it is believed that he is, given his behavior, it is believed that he has Asperger's. That is why he can stand up at a TED Talk and say vaccines will depopulate. So there are some added links on Bill Gates and the admission of vaccines and depopulation as well. But what I really want to point out to everybody is this disturbing link. Again, it's not for everybody. Those of you that will watch it, again, the families have to, have asked that we get this out far and wide. It's a story about two children that are whistleblowing on satanic sex cults out of the UK. It's a little 8-year-old girl and a little, or actually an 8-year-old boy and a 9-year-old little girl. They're adorable blonde little children. They were born into a satanic group. Their father is the head of this ritualistic satanic cult. And they have been absolutely, absolutely brutalized. And the descriptions by these children are simply sleepless. Because when you listen to their stories, you realize the horror and reality that is occurring globally.
I just want to interrupt real quick, Deb. I just want to point out everybody, Kev Baker just 2 nights ago did a fantastic show on that exact video. What we're talking about is these two kids who are talking about dancing around with baby skulls and, you know, we're talking way beyond sexual molestation, which, and what really is striking about the videos, and I have to, again, to go recommend everybody go watch Kev Baker, listen to Kev Baker's show from the other night. He actually interviewed, the attorney that's representing the families at this point. I can't think of her name off the top of my head, but a very, very groundbreaking stuff. And what really struck me about that video, Deborah, not only was the, were the details horrific, but you can absolutely tell without a doubt that the kids are not lying. They're not making anything up. The way that they respond is like classic conditioning. They've, you know, you can tell they have no emotional response to what it is that they're talking about anymore because they've been conditioned, to not react to it. It's just absolutely unbelievably tragic to see.
Right. Well, another movie that I would recommend, it's a documentary for everyone to see if they find this to be just over the top, is Oranges and Sunshine. If you haven't watched that documentary, Oranges and Sunshine, I would recommend that you do.
Okay.
This is the world that is being created right now for everyone, and including our children in these horrific indoctrination government camps that we're putting them in called schools. And quite frankly, now there are massive home networking, homeschooling networking programs and groups setting up across the country. And they're not dragging home the government indoctrination homeschooling programs. This is completely off-grid, out of the indoctrination program. They're not teaching the children that global warming is a scientific fact.
Right.
They're not behind wireless computers that are destroying their DNA,
good,
which is what schools are. Population and schools are moving the children into a new virtual reality of scientific belief. And it's just absolutely that those of us that are aware of what is occurring, that we protect the children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, J.D., that series of YouTubes that these children endured is very common. It's more widespread than people realize. There's secret societies all over the planet.
Yep.
This is what they do. In fact, the CIA Finders Organization was part of a group that literally helped to locate children out of neighborhoods and kidnap them. So when we look at the high rate of kidnapping, where are these children going? These children are being used for a variety of purposes. Certainly organ harvesting is one of them, the ritual satanic abuse, and putting them into sexual slavery. And this is a reality, as grim and horrifying as it is a fact, and you can really consider our reality when you look at what's happened here in the United States. In fact, J.D., a few years ago, we went actually back to Washington, D.C. We wanted to go to the record department itself and get a document in our hands that literally helped alter our lives and move us into reality, because we had looked at a public law that was in effect. It was Public Law 95-79. Title 50, Charter 32, Section 1520, and it's entitled Chemical and Biological Warfare Program. And what this law was about was the use of human subjects would be allowed for the testing of chemical and biological agents by the U.S. Department of Defense, according and the accounting to the congressional committees with respect to the experiments and studies. They went on to tell us that they would be able to use chemical and biological warfare agents on civilian populations within the United States without our knowledge or consent. Well, we did get this law from the Records Department, and this lasted only from 1977 to about 1988, and then it was replaced, and we discovered what it was replaced by. And it's on, you can find this document on stopthecrime.net. Click on the source document tab at the very top of the homepage. It's entitled the Genocide Treaty. What the Genocide Treaty basically states is that one's own government is not allowed to genocide its own people. And so what we have is we don't have a government, for those of you that have not been taught this in school. It's an established fact that the United States federal government was dissolved by the Emergency Banking Act, which you can look up, March 9th of 1933, under President Roosevelt. Again, that was the Emergency Banking Act of March 9th, 1933. And it's important to understand that the receivers of the bankruptcy were at the time the international bankers, the World Bank, and the International Monetary Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And all United States offices, officials, departments have been operating within a de facto status in name only under the emergency war powers. So the constitutional form of government that all of us were led to believe was a representative government for our safety and our interest is not.
Yeah.
So that is a fundamental reality that everyone needs to understand. We were falsely indoctrinated in school so that these plans could be further launched upon all of us for corporate interests and market profits. Remember, we're USA Inc. It is a market. It is for profit.
Yeah.
With full disregard towards humans. I would recommend everyone watch the YouTube entitled The Corporation. The corporation, with one caveat when you watch it. At the end, they talk about their concerns for the need to reduce our carbon footprint. Of course, that's all part of the corporate profit, non-reality scientific. It's consensus science, and we're going to talk about that a little bit too, JD.
Okay.
But what I wanted to also let everyone know is Pacific Gas and Electric, that is our utility here in Northern California, PG&E, is controlled by Rothschild. And there's a lot of front page coverage on the in the San Francisco Chronicle right now about how a PG&E executive sought to have leverage with the Public Utility Commission. Everyone needs to understand that your public utility commissions are incorporated. They're working for the benefit of your utilities in your state or in your community. Again, they don't work for you. If you type in PG&E followed by Rothschild, you will find, again, Rothschild runs PG&E. This is a network and a web of international control. Now, what they're doing, because everyone was starting to become aware that the policies for the smart grid and deploying the meters, then requiring that people put and install efficient Energy Star rated appliances, seemed outrageous.
Right.
And people, of course, were getting quite ill from the increased pulse microwave frequencies, which is all part of the silent weapon system warfare, covert and fingerprintless. People were starting to expose it, wondering what was going on. And so they've literally created a distraction by throwing one of the Pacific Gas and Electric and one of the public utility commissioners under the bus.
Really?
Now, this is just all staged. This is not going to really do anything but serve as a distraction with the intent to appear that justice is being served. This is what this is about, the intent, the illusion, to let people believe that when something illegal has been discovered, they'll really investigate it. Keep
well,
in mind.
It has to do with this whole Delphi thing that you talk about all the time, too, because if they can control both sides of the issue, well, then all of a sudden you're in control of the framework. You can't, you know, there aren't going to be any questions that come either this guy did something and then we can fix it, or he didn't do something and we can't fix it. You don't get any outside perspective other than just, you know, getting rammed into that perspective. Once they outline, you know, what the problem is and what the solutions are, you're kind of left with just that simple debate, which seems to be pretty par for the course for all of these Delphi-type controlled meetings. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, Deborah, but we do have to go to this quick three-minute break. So when we come back, I do want to continue with this discussion about this PG&E revelation and the Rothschild. Man, this Rothschild dynasty just seems to come up in just about every single facet of our problem, doesn't it? It's just unbelievable. Anyway,
absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got to go to this three-minute break. Really appreciate all you guys in the chat room. If I can get to your questions and shuffle them across to Deborah, I will do so. We got this three-minute break. We're going to come right back. Keep it right here, guys. We'll see you in just a second.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear? Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN. Worldwide.
Sure, I'm glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah, I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date?
Good idea. Now that I'm taking Iodine Now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again.
It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the iodine now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a 1-year supply. Your future looks really great. I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now, part of the MicroPlant Powder family. MicroPlant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at HempUSA.org.
We all know the importance of having storable foods, but what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy 3 or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same-day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Evil contains within it the seed of its own destruction.
Truth Warrior with David Whitehead. Mondays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. And thank all of you guys who are active in the chat room at truthfrequencyradio.com. Love seeing you guys in there. If you have any questions for Deborah Tavares, that is a great place to post them, and I will try and shuttle them across to her. Before the break, we were just talking a little bit about, Deborah, about your local energy provider there, PG&E, and how they are connected to the Rothschild organization. But you were saying that now it seems like there is a false narrative that's being developed with that organization. We want to pick it up.
Absolutely. It continues to be a reality for all of us that understand how government policies and attorneys, the Bar Association, really work. Keep in mind, BAR, B-A-R, means British Accreditation Regency.
Oh, Deborah, you're not supposed to come on the air and say crazy stuff like that.
The BAR was set up by Rothschild.
Yes, it was.
To foment the continued false currency and many other falsehoods in the United States. Mm-hmm. And the bar attorneys, sadly, have led us into an illusion that courts and the judiciary system serves us. It does not.
Correct.
It serves the corporate structure. Mm-hmm. So we have quite a bit of retraining or deprogramming to get into the reality so that we can understand the level of poison assaults upon all of us. It is coming from every facet. Our clothes are poisonous. It tells us that in the NASA war document. You can type in your search engine, poisonous clothes. You'll find out that the dyes and nanoparticles that are part of some of the thread material that literally goes into our skin.
Wow.
Vitamins. If you're not reading labels, there's aspartame in many products that are neurotoxins.
Mm-hmm.
Go to my archives, because I'm on the Rinse Radio program, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. My archives are posted on the homepage of StopTheCrime.net. We just really have some amazing interviews posted there. Also, JD, I want to shout out for our YouTube channel on mm-hmm. StopTheCrime.net, which everyone can get to.
Yep.
I've posted some very critical YouTubes for everyone to watch. These are on the scene where we go out and we film these actual events as they are occurring. One of the latest YouTubes that we've posted is the plan to transform the nation's food system. This is really important for everyone to share, particularly with all the farmers and ranchers. Anyone living in country areas needs to watch this. The plan plan to transform the nation's food system. They're calling it Incubator Farms. This is literally incubating people on government-owned lands, the open spaces that are no longer even in the tax roll base anymore, wow, because they're certainly gobbling up all lands and putting them in parks and in open space and in preserves. So here in Sonoma County, they're looking at a specific plot of land that they would like to allow 75 wannabe farmers to learn how to plant. And, of course, the farmers don't have the money. Land is too expensive.
Right.
They don't have the equipment. So the USDA, along with some grants and some of the universities are heavily involved in the demise of the country. And I'll just add very quickly right now, the reason that they are is many are not under federal requirements, so they can get away with a lot of the laboratory experimenting in the genomes and literally moving us out of being human. That's where a lot of this is coming from, most of it's coming from, as well as what we recently learned as well. JD, I was quite surprised. Not only is are the pharmaceuticals moving the definition into the word of food, but I also discovered that there are fleets of vessels or ships that are run by certain doctors, and they use these ships as laboratories in international waters where they are just creating Frankenstein realities for all of us.
Are you serious?
And they're getting away with this. So I will have a lot more to say about this. This is all part of the revelation that came out of this four-day traveling science snake oil program that we were engaged in called American Association for the Advancement of Science. They call it AAAS. And I just want, I'll talk about more about that in a moment, but I wanted to, again, refer people to the YouTube channel on StopTheCrime.net. Again, many of these are filmed right here in Northern California, where you can see in real time or in our eyes and the format of these meetings, you can see what a Delphi meeting looks like. In fact, in that meeting, Incubator Farms, or plan to transform the nation's food supply, we actually caught, JD, the facilitators of the meeting writing a note to one another that they never intended for any of the attendees like ourselves to see. And we expose that. You've got to watch this.
Wow.
It is exposing the Delphi technique. So what is important to understand is while many people that are participating in these phony false meeting setups to literally push people, again, with the belief that they're participating and they're not, just like PG&E throwing several people under the bus to allow the idea that we have a judiciary system, none of this is real, you can see it happening. So, again, I will also discuss the Delphi technique because I think it's important for people.
I do, too. Yes, ma'am. Please do.
Yeah, we've been taken over by the Delphi technique, which is controlling of the meeting. In fact, the USDA has what they call a leadership training program, the USDA. And they tell people that we're going to train you in leadership skills. And what that is, it's perception management. They stand in front of a group of people. They have an agenda already decided upon. And they invite the public to these little roundtables and public input. They'll even advertise this is for public input. People will come with input. They'll find that none of what they say ends up in the final report. What I have also discovered, JD, and this is just absolutely so important to explain, I know people that are involved in these roundtable meetings. Here in Northern California, they're attempting to eliminate and to reduce the number of volunteer fire departments. Certainly, the volunteer fire departments that are generally in the country areas, with country and rural areas now being defined as unsustainable and considered as sprawl, they're starting to eliminate the emergency services. And so some people I know are in the roundtable discussions of what that's going to look like, and the firefighters are involved in these meetings as well. It's a very well-organized group. And what they said, there were three criteria in order to participate in this supposed input group. Number one, it would be about a year and a half worth of meetings monthly. There would be reading requirements. And then at the end, when the plan was developed, you either had, it's a consensus-based meeting, and you either have to agree with the plan or you can live with it.
Okay.
So it's a manipulated outcome where you cannot refuse it. They said if you are unhappy with the plan and you do not agree, in other words, if they cannot get to 100% agreement, they will use all the people in the room to encourage that one person to change their mind.
Mm.
Now, this is called bullying. This is legalized bullying. This is what has occurred across the board globally in every meeting. It's the controlled meeting style. It came out of the Tavistock Institute out of the UK decades and decades and decades ago. It's been launched through the RAND, R-A-N-D, Corporation in Santa Monica, California. You can find reference to the Delphi technique in the report from Iron Mountain. And I go over that a bit in a YouTube I highly, highly recommend everyone watch. It's called Water Wars, Stealing Water for Profit and Power. Water Wars, Stealing Water for Profit and Power. I want to just be mindful of the time, JD, and I really want to encapsulate what the documents are telling us.
Okay.
And I'm going to do that now. Again, go to stopthecrime.net to look at the documents that I'm going to be referring to right now. But certainly one of the documents is on the homepage of stopthecrime.net. And if you look under the banner, it's entitled Global Strategic War Plans. Global Strategic War Plans. Also, if you scroll down a ways below that, you're going to, well, actually, you can type in the search bar at the top of stopthecrime.net, NASA War Plan. You overlay the NASA War Plan with this Global Strategic War Plan, and you get the global picture.
Right.
I'm going to illustrate part of that now. What is occurring is the illusion of water scarcity. We're the water planet. Water is a renewable energy resource created deep within the mantle of the Earth by hydrogen and oxygen. It turns to vapor. It puts a tremendous amount of pressure against the mantle when it turns into water, and it literally will find a way to surface. It's new water. It has never, ever been part of the atmospheric secondary water cycle. We've all been taught that water is rain and snowmelt. Rain and snowmelt actually comes from the surfacing of new water deep within the earth. So right now, here's a website. Go to it. It's called primarywater.org. Primarywater.org. You can download flyers. You can read a book, very, very important book. It was literally bought out by the wealthy in the early 60s, never intended to surface. There it is. You can read it. It's called New Water for a Thirsty World. New Water for a Thirsty World. What is intriguing is that Aldous Huxley wrote the foreword to it. New Water for a Thirsty World. Understand we're the water planet. We have an abundant supply of water. Water is a renewable.
Right.
So what are the documents telling us? That water is scarce. That as a result of bad agricultural practices and the overuse of chemicals and water, and the lack of water, 2.7 billion people are going to be affected. They say water stress. That means they're going to die. This is a massive depopulation program. Whenever you hear the scarcity card being played, when the water facts are being withheld from you, it's part of the control of markets, water markets, and it's controlling all aspects from the farmers all the way down to what you buy on your grocery shelf. In these documents, JD, it says that food costs by 2036 will be up 100% of what they are right now.
Wow.
They also go on to tell us that because we are moving into the mega cities. Basically, they're making it sound like we all want to congregate in these massive cities. They talk about the dangers in these massive cities because of climate change. Now, all of us realize that the weather is fully manipulated, and I'm going to just cover something extremely important. We've posted it on stopthecrime.net. It came out of this meeting that we just attended, the Advanced Science AAAE program just a few days ago. A quote-unquote false scientist by the name of Alan Robach was explaining geoengineering, and he was talking about how the CIA chiefs fear hostile nations are trying to manipulate the world's weather. And he goes on to say so-called geoengineering techniques range from cloud seeding, etc. But he went on to say that he, Alan Robach, who's a professor from Rutgers University in New Jersey, said, quote, consultants working for the CIA rang or called him and said, we'd like to know if someone is controlling the world's climate. Would we know about it? And he says, of course, they were also asking, if we control someone else's climate, would they know about it? And the professor is one of many scientists from around the world who is actively looking at manipulating the weather in a way of combating climate change. Now, he went on to say, Professor Robach said, he told the callers that any attempts to meddle with the weather on a large scale would be detectable. You think? So what we heard him say at the meeting for this advanced science program with a panel was completely denying any capability of weather manipulation at all. He said there have been in the past some very small experiments. They never went anywhere. The scientists that were exposing geoengineering and talking about the capabilities of manipulating the weather on a large scale, he had pictures of them on his PowerPoint, and then he would flash a red words across it saying, barking mad. So this is what is occurring, discrediting people that come out with the truth.
Right.
Now, these are dead scientists that said, yes, the weather's being manipulated. They've been working on it. And what this traveling circus of snake oil scientists during this entire meeting, and literally scientists were imported and brought in from all over the world to attend this scripted propaganda machine that they have put together under the guise of telling us about science. So it's important to understand that this is their subtle way of getting the truth out, that the CIA is wondering whether there's large-scale weather manipulation programs.
I think the irony in that accusation is just hilarious. I have to point that out. That's why I laughed earlier, because that's just dripping with irony that the CIA would be concerned about something like that.
Another thing, too, that we learned at this symposium during an Ebola conference was that they kept saying Ebola is transferred from human to human. And yet during this conference, we were told that it started one day in a small village, a small boy playing near a hollow tree and a bat. And so, of course, I don't know if any of you have heard that Ebola actually came from a bat. That's what we were told at the Snake Oil Science Fair program by experts, boots on the ground during the planned biological warfare and the invented Ebola in Sierra Leone and other places in Africa. And they're showing futuristic capabilities now of identifying areas of malaria, for example. They showed spatial satellites that by next year will be able to literally the homes within villages that have signs of malaria.
Wow.
And that will help them to know exactly where to concentrate their resources and efforts of spraying.
Right. Wow.
So what we're facing is diabolical. We're all being delphied in corrupted false meetings. We're all being sideswiped by doublespeak and word games. We've got to spend some time and first and foremost understand the level of betrayal the level of assault up on us now. It is mounting by the minute. And we can certainly see it here in Northern California through the climate action plans. They're creating massive markets. In short, during the meetings, they talked about how certain areas of the globe that would soon be defined as having more desirable climate, that will come at a cost for people who live in those areas, remembering that they completely control the weather.
Right.
They're going to start selling the climate. They talk about the inefficiencies of current agriculture in that they say from when the farmer grows it, he transports it, they take it to the manufacturing or process the goods, and then take it to the markets for sale. They say that there's much lost revenue in between all of those processes. Literally, what the goal is to use our energy coming from our bodies.
Ugh.
Use our body energy.
Uh-huh.
Everything is a market. Everything has value. And they're literally going to use our physical beings as energy.
I agree.
So we
it's the Matrix.
Yes, it is. And as horrific as this sounds, it is more horrific than I've even explained.
Deborah, can I interrupt you for just a second? I have a question that somebody emailed me, and I have to ask you, and we're kind of have to go a little off topic. But people are – we know that your fight against, like, the cell phone towers and the smart meters and stuff like that, some people in the chat room are really concerned about the electromagnetic radiation fields that are being created. And somebody wanted me to ask you about – you had had a map up at stopthecrime.net, I think, which was showing the non-registered cell phone towers that were around the nation.
Do you know
what I'm referring to?
Yes, I do. Okay, everyone can type this in your search engine.
Okay.
It's called antennasearch.com, antennasearch.com. And you'll type in your address, and you'll need to click on two choices because one is for searching for antennas, and within that link you can also search for cell phone towers. And you'll be able to print off two separate maps, each generally a four-mile radius, and it will show the number of cell phone towers on one map and the number of antennas on another map. And, of course, you have to overlay that.
Uh-huh.
There's also the workings on doing that with Wi-Fi hotspots, too. And that is being worked on now. I don't know the availability
okay.
of that. But
Someone...
we are literally being bathed in bioelectromagnetic radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And, but... in fact... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, the question that this person wanted to know is about, was the distinction between a registered tower and a non-registered tower. Are there towers out there that are not owned by corporations that we can actually address that are still actually working right now? They're doing something. Is that part of this non-registered, cell phone tower on these maps? I'm just trying to kind of get a better feel.
Well, I really can't answer the non-registered aspect of this.
Okay.
We know that in order to deploy a cell phone tower, it's the telecom industry. Cities, as a result of the 1996 Telecommunication Act, all cities are required to allow the servers or providers to deploy cell phone towers.
Okay.
And that's why we're seeing them crop up on school grounds and on first responders, fire stations,
right.
and schools, because there's also a tremendous amount of income that is generated for the people that allow the towers to be located on their property.
Makes sense.
And what is happening is that many have tried to warn the public about the carcinogenic and mutagenic effects of radiation,
mm-hmm.
and the public has been, of course, secretly and purposefully exposed to all of this by this corrupt corporate United States, Inc. criminals and paid public officials for the purpose of covert warfare and corporate profits. It's all about corporate profits. And we've known this. We have documents on the source tab of stopthecrime.net, certainly the Fort Meade Army document, about 20 pages, talks about the fact that 100% of human beings, and animals, of course, too, will be affected by these frequencies. Many people are not yet feeling the effects. But the effects present themselves in many ways to allow Big Pharma to benefit from people that go to their doctors who are certainly not trained in these electromagnetic frequency illnesses. They'll go and say they're getting more headaches than usual, they're not sleeping well, leg twitching, forgetfulness, irritability, all the way to ADHD and cancers. What we know is that the dormant viruses as a result of the vaccinations literally are activated by the increased frequencies that they're now deploying in our environment. Hmm. Again, this is a multifaceted, covert, silent weapons system that is being used for plausible deniability. And what we can do is know these things are occurring and certainly make different decisions. And that is what we really promote. We have a solutions page on stopthecrime.net. I would recommend people look at that. If you're near a cell phone tower and you're feeling sweaty and you're waking up in night sweats, it's certainly something to understand could be occurring from that cell phone tower.
Mm-hmm.
We know that they are being amped up in the early morning hours. This is causing sleep disruption. This is intentional to reduce our recovery time, because when we're not able to get the sleep requirements that we need, we're not repairing from the assaults upon our bodies.
That's right.
So this is a horrific reality that we are all starting to realize on a broader basis. Its assaults are from every single direction. So, again, go to the solutions page on stopthecrime.net. Understand that we all must now band together.
Yes.
We must share information. We must support one another through this. This is what they do not want. This is why there are many individuals that are targeted individuals. If you've not heard that word before, you need to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Targeted individuals are literally hunted by organized criminal gangs throughout the United States and globally. They're hunted by ground assault teams that are bullying teams. It's causing tremendous psychological distress when you realize you're being followed. And I know this sounds crazy. It is crazy. And they're also using teams that use directed energy weapons, lasers, masers, et cetera, and worse,
right,
in the hunting process of these targeted individuals. Many of these targeted individuals over the last year have reported increased torture on their bodies. Many of these individuals have biomedical implants. I have a YouTube up. You should watch it. Listen to it. It's called Mind Control, Wires in the Brain.
Oh, man.
Mind Control, Wires in the Brain.
I gotta stop you, Deborah, because we're just about out of time, but I wanted you, I don't know if you saw the article that came out about DARPA. They're trying to do this direct neural cortical interface, so they're going to put a little screen in someone's brain, ostensibly for the purpose of providing sight to the blind, because we know, of course, how altruistic DARPA is. But, yeah, they're moving on with Cortex, you know, direct links to the brain. It's a brave new world, ladies and gentlemen. Deborah, thank you so much for joining us on the program today and for all the information you brought us.
Thank you, JD.
Absolutely.
Everyone take care. Go to stopthecrime.net.
That's right, stopthecrime.net. Check out Stop the Crime also on YouTube. She does such a great job of keeping amazing information up there, ladies.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.